from KQED.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is the California Report podcast. I'm Lily Jamali.
And I'm Laura Satsui. We begin today in Sacramento. Exactly 1 year after the shooting death of Stephon Clark, his family is calling on state lawmakers to give them some measure of justice by passing new laws that could change when police can use deadly force. From KQED's Politics and Government Desk, Katie Orr reports.
Neither the Sacramento District Attorney nor the State Attorney General decided to press charges against the officers who shot and killed Clark in his grandmother's backyard. Officers confronted the 22-year-old black man while responding to a disturbance call. Clark was carrying a cell phone police thought was a gun. Now his family is encouraging lawmakers to pass a bill that would further restrict when police officers could use deadly force. Clark family attorney Benjamin Crump says they also want more transparency in police shooting cases.
What we're asking to do as part of the legacy of Stephon Clark is to compel district attorneys in the state of California to present the circumstances involving all police shootings to the grand jury.
Crump says he's talking to several lawmakers about crafting that legislation. The U.S. Department of Justice is also investigating whether Clark's civil rights were violated in the shooting. Clark's family is suing the city of Sacramento for wrongful death. His supporters are also calling on the Sacramento PD to fire the officers involved. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
We're going to go to Orange County now. Earlier this week, we told you about a scathing new report from the American Civil Liberties Union. That report alleges devastating conditions in some of the county's emergency shelters. Well, KQED's Michelle Wiley has since spoken to officials at the county about those allegations, and she brings us this.
In the 106-page document, ACLU investigators detail alarming conditions within three emergency shelters in Orange County, the Courtyard and Safe Place in Santa Ana, and Bridges at Kramer Place in Anaheim. Together, these shelters can hold about 700 people. In all three, investigators say they heard complaints of unsanitary living conditions, verbally and physically abusive staff members, sexual harassment, and a lack of oversight. Some residents interviewed said that they'd rather live on the streets than be housed in these emergency shelters. Susan Price is the director of care coordination with Orange County, which oversees the shelters.
Each and every one of these programs is voluntary, and, you know, where I think you would get some feedback like that from some folks, I would say that that would be in the minority to the volume of people that are in these programs. They're full every night.
According to Price, part of the issue is that since a large homeless encampment in the Orange County riverbed was cleared last year by court order, these shelters have seen a rapid influx of residents encouraged to enroll in the programs, more than the facilities are able to adequately accommodate.
Certainly the allegations of staff misconduct or inappropriate behavior, I mean, that's not to be tolerated. To the extent that we're aware of that, we'll work with the nonprofit on their HR strategy. A person could lose their job for some of the allegations that were made in that report.
According to the ACLU, the allegations within the report open the county to a range of legal liability because they contract with these nonprofits. And if things don't improve, the ACLU will consider legal action. For the California Report, I'm Michelle Wiley.
California State Senator Scott Wiener announced legislation this week that would require state prison officials to classify and house transgender inmates based on their gender identity, not on the gender assigned to them at birth. KQED's Chloe Veltman reports.
Wiener's bill would allow trans inmates to self-report their gender and require that they be addressed by their specified pronouns. Bambi Salcedo is the president and CEO of the Trans Latina Coalition, a national advocacy group based in Los Angeles. A former inmate herself, she says the new bill would greatly increase the safety of trans prisoners.
The sexual assault is constant and we're very fearful for our lives.
According to a recent report from the National Center for Transgender Equality, trans people are 10 times as likely to be abused by fellow inmates while incarcerated compared to the general prison population. Massachusetts and Connecticut recently passed bills protecting the rights of these individuals behind bars. A spokeswoman for the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation declined to comment on the legislation, which is set for a hearing in the coming month. For the California Report, I'm Chloe Veltman.
We're going to come back here to the Central Valley now, to the city of Stockton.
Yeah, in 2012, a combination of fiscal mismanagement and the crash of the housing market prompted Stockton to file for bankruptcy. It was, at the time, the largest American city to do so.
Yeah, the Detroit now owns that dubious distinction. Well, the investors who lent Stockton money came away with 92 cents on the dollar, Laura. City workers who lost their jobs weren't so lucky. Michael Tubbs was in his early 20s at the time. He is now the mayor of Stockton, and he told me the bankruptcy still looms large.
Even when we make decisions, I think it's caused all of us on the council, including myself, to be very cautious about how we spend kind of public dollars. We're not bankrupt, and we're the second most fiscally healthy city in the state now. But that doesn't mean we have all the money we need to provide for all the services we'd like to provide. So it's been a learning lesson to kind of get back to the basics and to be creative about how to attract partners and other folks to kind of help do things that city government may not be, given the scarcity of dollars, shouldn't be the first mover.
So you mentioned 92 cents on the dollar is what creditors ended up getting, which is, you know, quite a decent sum.
And for me, I remember talking with staff and how unfair that was, that our employees didn't get 92 cents on the dollars. But the creditors, the folks who made a lot of the risky transactions that threw this whole country in a recession, the fact that they recouped almost all of their earnings, still leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I think that also goes to a lot of the anger and frustration a lot of people have about kind of quote unquote when people say like the system is rigged. I think that speaks to that notion, the fact that some folks get 92 cents on the dollar, and some folks who are paying zero for health care and have to pay $1,000 a month for the rest of their lives.
How would you, in your own words, characterize the turnaround that we're in? Because people do look at Stockton now and think there is a turnaround happening, and you're the face of that.
Yeah, well, I think the turnaround has been led by a host of people coming together, particularly the residents. I mean, in the midst of bankruptcy, they taxed themselves to pay for more fire and essential services, and they taxed themselves again to pay for parks and library, which is incredible to me. And what I try to position my leadership as is getting us to really focus on our values. So let's make sure we're investing in people. Let's make sure we're speaking truth. And let's make sure that no neighborhood is left behind. And we're not shy about who we are as a community. That it's a beautiful thing to be a working class community. It's a beautiful thing to have workers as the backbone of our community. And we don't need yachts in our waterfront. We're fine without that.
That was Stockton Mayor Michael Tubbs. You can hear our extended interview by going to my Twitter feed. I'm at Lily Jamali. It's pinned to the top.
Now, speaking of Twitter, Tulare Congressman Devin Nunes is suing the platform and some users, including one purporting to be his mom and another his cow. Ooh. Congressman Nunes alleges he's been defamed and that Twitter quietly blocks conservative views on the platform. He was on Fox News to talk about the suit, an appearance he promoted on where else? Twitter.
Makes sense. Laura, you and I are heading to Madera, about a half hour from where we're sitting in Clovis, Fresno area. We're going to be talking to the superintendent of schools there. This is like many districts across our state, one that is looking at going on strike. At least the teachers union is planning on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so last week they did have, they were picketing outside of a district-wide event to try and draw attention to it, but also at the same time, they can't officially strike because they're in the middle of fact-finding, which by law they have to wait for the fact-findings to come out with some sort of a report before the teachers can take a vote and say, yeah, we're definitely going on strike.
Yeah, there's a very specific process that has to be followed, and I think the fact-finder landed earlier this month. Mm-hmm. What's interesting to me about Madera, this is a very rural part of the state. There are, to my knowledge, no charter schools. And when you look at Oakland and LA, some of the other districts in the state that have gone on strike, the only other districts that have so far, these are large urban districts where charter schools loom large. So I'm looking forward to understanding the dynamic in Madera because I think there is a bit of a divide, rural to urban, on this issue.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that really plays into where this district gets their teachers. And I think that's something I heard from some faculty and members of the union is we need to, they're saying they want the district to be more competitive because the knowledge base they're pulling from, the students they're pulling from to become teachers. There's not a lot there. They have to be able to recruit from outside of the area. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, you know, the teachers are stretched thin and they want to be able to foster, you know, growth in new other faculty members to come.
Well, I'm really looking forward to being in the field with you.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
And that is the California Report podcast for this Tuesday, March 19th, a production of KQED Public Radio. We are at KVPR in Fresno. I'm Lily Jamali.
And I'm Laura Satsui. Have a great day.
Support for the California Report comes from Energy Upgrade California, reminding Californians to use less energy every day. Keep it golden at energyupgradecalifornia.org. BridgeBank, a division of Western Alliance Bank, offering flexible financial solutions to entrepreneurs and to the technology and life sciences communities. BridgeBank, be bold, venture wisely. And Collective Health. American employers are in the healthcare business. It's time they had the technology to drive it. CollectiveHealth.com.